Hi, and welcome to the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners of eWeb Results.
My name is Matt Bertram, one of the owners of EWR Digital. Or eWeb Results, EWR also Digital. Known as eWeb Results.
We are in, well, that's what the EWR stands for, right? We are in COVID lockdown. This is another podcast. I honestly, as I was putting together content for this one, I felt like it was still too, I don't know about you, Matt, but I felt like it was still too early to just like jump back directly into SEO content. Like we're still, you know, maybe we're 3-4 weeks into it, depending on what part of the country, what part of the world you're at. But I still feel like we need to continue to talk about, you know, the experiences that people are having on COVID. So this may be our last kind of COVID subject podcast. But I don't know about you. It feels a little too early to just jump right back into SEO only stuff. What do you think, Matt?
Well, so interestingly enough, probably about 3 weeks ago, I got an ad set up and started running it that was the Chinese sign for like crisis and opportunity. And I started running that ad and it wasn't well received. So I turned it off. I think, you got to look at the psychology of, you know, the entire world, I guess, right now and understand where they are in the cycle. And we've been talking a lot about mindset. The last podcast I interviewed a lady by the name of Mallory that has a mindset podcast. I thought it was appropriate. And we were even talking with our team earlier today about motivation, right? And why we now have a lot of time and there was a lot of things that were on the shelf, but we need to have the right motivation. We need to get the right sleep. We need to take care of ourselves, eat healthy, work out, get some sun to help us give us the energy to do the things that we need to do. And I think it's really appropriate to discuss kind of what people are going through right now and kind of address that a little bit more, because that is a factor that goes into long-term success with digital marketing or anything really. Is you got to 90% of the job showing up, right?
And so what is one of the things that we're doing? We are all working from home. So we chose an article by Ron Liebach. Before we jumped into that, we do want to let you know, Matt and I, despite not being in the same location, we are both broadcasting live from Houston, Texas. And Matt and I, we are your results rebels.
Now, is there a delay, Chris? Is there a delay here? I don't know. Huh? Is there a delay?
There may be a little bit of a delay, and so we'll be like those professional reporters. When I hand it off to you, I'll go quiet, and then you'll just look like you're being quiet for too long, and then you'll pick it up.
Okay, because really, you were like, we're working from, and for anybody that's just listening, he raised his hands and did like spirit fingers, and I was like, what? Working from home. Yeah. So that was fun.
So if there are delays, maybe it's our
It's
own
due
minds.
To my internet. It's due to my internet. Like you can throw me under the bus. I'm not hardwired in.
Like I said, we're covering an article by Ron Liebach. Great article. Top 12 tips from someone who's been working from home for 12 years. So he's had an entire year to put together each one of the tips in this. And so we want to jump through this. I did want to read a review that we have. We have an amazing show and there's no way we're going to be able to time this together. So I'm going to extend it. I'm going to say it is 5 stars. it's from Rydelby. That's the handle and it's tactical SEO strategies and an entertaining duo. Keep up the great work, fellas. Patif to you, Rydel. We really appreciate you and appreciate all the audience. As I was digging through a bunch of articles, I did notice there are a couple interesting facts. One of them, one article that I thought was interesting was about reviews and how many reviews are fake. And this, I know you love statistics, Matt. This one really stood out. On Amazon, 90% of Bluetooth product reviews are fake.
Interesting. I did not know that.
90%. That's a lot of fake reviews. If you're looking for Bluetooth products, be careful relying on the reviews and you're on Amazon. It was just an interesting article about how much fraud it is. He actually outlined all the different types of fraud. It's a really fascinating article. I don't know if you know this, Matt. Google is slashing their marketing budget by 50%.
Google is.
Yeah. So the how money much, they're spending on their marketing down 50%.
How much market share does Google have?
So I'm not sure. I'm sure this is, my guess would be that this covers everything. This is just a guess. I really didn't dig into that article.
All their other products, not just search.
Yeah.
Not just yeah. AdWords.
So like the Pixel, the ad. Yeah. So everything. So, but they're dropping it now. They're saying, you know, that's their take on it. I think that if you're doing the right advertising, you actually should be increasing your advertising right now. Cause, it's
time for opportunity. So with that being said, you know, who is not advertising right now that I truly believe should be crushing it on all channels right now, advertising. Walmart bought Jet.
Hand sanitizer.
Well, no, Walmart bought Jet, and they have an online, they have their online application that competes with Amazon, and it's actually up 30% in signups. But Amazon's kind of slow, right? Amazon's kind of slow shipping this stuff. Yeah. Like, I believe Walmart right should now. Be dumping money in advertising. If I were them, Walmart, take a listen.
Well, maybe they're trying to avoid the challenge of if they dump a bunch of money. So maybe they're sprinkling it around the country, where maybe close to where their warehouses are, because they could quickly run into the same issue. I literally had a piece of studio equipment that was scheduled to arrive May 5th, right? So right now we're on the 24th. On the 20th, I canceled that order. Ordered the exact same thing from the same person, and it's going to be here on the 28th, right? So there's just a lot of, like, Amazon's having to do a lot of shifting. I think they hired 100,000 people, and I think they're about to hire another 75,000 people.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, if you're competing with Amazon right now and they're having delays, it's a really good opportunity to, one, get into the market and to grow market share, and Walmart has the ability, I believe, to scale. They have the logistics, like, to do that. So this should be their opportunity to shine. And I have not seen one Walmart, like, app ad, you know, on television, on social media, on, you know, any platforms that have a screen on them. You know, that was just my observation. Yeah. Yeah. If I was a competitor, that's what I would be doing with what Amazon's experience, because they're really becoming the sole beneficiary to a large degree of everything that's going on right now.
Yeah. Again, article by Ron Liebeck, top 12 tips from someone who has been working from home for 12 years. One of the things he points out is, like, for employees who typically spend 40 hours in the office, working from home has escalated anxiety and confusion. I think we can agree with that, right? Like, that seems pretty true. Self-quarantine mandates during this global crisis, the anxiety and confusion intensified day by day. Not only that, if you're somebody who didn't already have a camera, you can't get one right now. The pricing is through the roof. You like $300 for a $35 camera on eBay or Amazon.
I heard pizzas have gone up last week.
Say again?
Sorry, yeah, we are talking over each other. Sorry about that. I've heard the price of pizza's gone up. I haven't ordered any pizzas, but I've heard the price of pizza's gone up. So it's a supply and demand thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's the whole, and then the grocery stores, like everything is just topsy turvy, right? Like, so we all used to eat at least some amount at a restaurant in Houston. Apparently, it's more than most places in the world. We actually eat out, I don't know, six or seven times a week. Is the Houston average. It's pretty high. But now all those people aren't eating at the restaurants, so now they need more groceries, and that's what's really significantly impacted the grocery stores. And we could throw a toilet paper joke in there, but I feel like that's been overdone. So, all right. So Ron Liebeck, he says his mission is to take on free. His mission at one point in his career was to take on freelance writing full time, and this forced him. This is, I think, important. It forced him to learn time management skills. And it said it took 6 months of self-training in productivity habits. So there's really two keys things he's saying: time management, productivity habits. And then he emphasizes, yes, it took him 6 months, Unfortunately, we actually don't have 6 months. We need to be productive immediately. So here's the 12 ways. The first one is set up a daily routine by planning your week. Matt, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Planning your week is super important. I think that, you know, when you're managing your week, and like, I think a lot of people come into the office. That's so cool. For any of that you that don't know, Chris has a green mug on a green screen background and it's invisible. It's really pretty cool. Anyways, yeah.
For YouTube, make sure you subscribe and follow.
Absolutely. If you don't plan your week, you're not very productive, period. Okay. There's a lot of people that come into the office and then they just grab at stuff to work on, and they don't know what to work on next. And they're failing to plan, and they're just working what hits them. They're not prioritizing. They don't have a game plan. Typically, when I was growing other teams, what I would do is they would have a daily activity sheet, which we do due to time tracking, but have a daily activity sheet that they turn in at the end of the week, so it sees how productive you are, and then what your tasks are for next week. Have that all outlined. So one of the things I like to say is you treat your week like maybe 10 different half an hour or half day segments, right? So it's like 10 different segments. And so if you're not having a good day in the morning, take that break during lunch, come back and treat it like it's a fresh start, right? And, you know, so I typically do that. That's kind of how I, you know, train our team to do it. Also, typically, three big things a day or three big things a week, depending on the size of the project. If you knock out the most important top three things every day or every week, you're going to be moving the ball down the field, and you got to focus on that. A lot of people, and eating your frog first, right? I think it's really important to take care of the big tasks, and then the little tasks move a lot faster, and do the big tasks first thing, tackle it when you're fresh. And so I think time management drives productivity and also it enhances motivation. So
yeah, plan that week. And remember, when they talk about eat the frog, it's not necessarily like, I think you've got a good plan. It's not necessarily that big project. It's actually the project that you, okay, one, maybe you find yourself keep pushing off. Right. So like you keep pushing it off. So like eat that frog first. Maybe it's a little tiny task that you just don't like to do. Eat that first. I think that's really good. I would also say there's a really interesting study about routines. And this is all like through a conversation I had with a buddy of mine. I was drinking beers and he was talking about, I know this is can be a challenging subject, but it was talking about those people who tended to survive Jewish concentration camps. Or concentration camps in general. And it was people who had routines. So that person who got up, shaved every day, like if you're in this horrible environment, you might look at that person and go, why are you even doing that? And it's those people who have this routine, who have that next step to work towards, who are the, and a lot of the points in here will actually support this, are the ones who made it out, right? I hope that parallel doesn't offend.
Well, I think that that's a pretty serious topic to be drinking beers talking about, Chris.
It was not a lighthearted conversation, to be sure. But yeah, so get up. You know, if you're going to leave your pajama bottoms on, at least put on a shirt, right? Like a t-shirt or something that fits that mode. So yeah, there you go. Eat, sleep, SEO. So you're doing that. Get up, get your teeth brushed, make sure you're going to turn on your camera. And so have these routines, and you'll see that a lot of this goes forward with these next steps. The next point, again, these are top 12 tips from someone who's been working from home for 12 years. Do not multitask. It says multitasking is the world's greatest fallacy. By the way, Matt, I don't know if you know this. Do you know that women are actually better at multitasking than men?
I do. I hear that they're better at everything.
Oh, a wise man. He listens to his wife. just know that multitasking is not a good thing. I think that, like, right after this, well, a couple down, we start talking about a little bit about email. But when you're bouncing from one project to the next, the studies are clear. There's no doubt about this. You can't even make the argument that you're the one person who can actually do multitasking because of all the research. When you hop from one project to another, you actually lose time. If you were to finish that project in its entirety and then move on to it, you're missing all the lost productivity time between the hop. And sometimes that productivity time can be a lot more draining than whatever the 15 seconds or a minute that it takes to transfer for it, to transition from one project to another. So don't multitask. I don't know, Matt, if you've got any kind of things to add there.
Yeah, I would say I definitely don't multitask. I don't check my email. Like, I batch check my email. I'm not constantly checking my email. I know that's kind of a hindrance for some people. I typically focus on what's right in front of me. I dive into it and I knock it out. And that's why I feel like I'm making a lot of progress. Now, I typically do have the list of all the things I need to do, whether it's a Trello board, whether it's in teamwork, whether it's on a piece of paper next to me or on a whiteboard. I have those tasks. And also I know when something else becomes a higher priority, or if there's a meeting that's set up, to make sure I don't miss it. But typically when I'm working on something, I'm working on that one thing and it's prioritized as the most important thing I need to be doing now, even though other stuff could be quote unquote burning. I try to make sure that I'm assigning or juggling or sending an email so people know, hey, I'm working on that. I'll get back to you. Like like one of the big things is sometimes people don't like to respond to an email until a task is completely finished. And I let them know, hey, I got your message. It's in the queue and I'll circle back with you in, 24 hours or whatever. So I can stay on the task that I'm working on. But I always work on, I guess, the thing that I view as the highest priority at that time. And other stuff is going to be languishing a little bit, but I make sure if there's something that I need to jump that becomes the higher priority task, I shift to that. But I'm only working on one thing at a time, and you got to kind of sometimes zone it out. One of the things I do is I always listen to like EDM music that has no words, and that like puts me in this like productive time frame. So I put headphones on and I'm working on it unless I'm interacting with somebody. And that typically like kind of Pavlov's law cues me in to say, hey, now it's time to get productive. So,
yeah. No, I've certainly done that at times where I've had kind of whatever I needed to put my head down, have even blared music, and that can work in some instances. Ironically, I was just lecturing my daughter today how she can't have, children's music in the background while she's doing her schoolwork. So I don't know exactly how that fits in because there's two of us who actually do it. I think you just got to be aware that you got to know what you're doing and be aware of what you're doing. And really try not to multitask. I've recognized in you, Matt, from when we first met that you're really good at like blocking out time, staying focused on the right thing, and then, switching to the next switch. So I think you're a little bit ahead of me in that arena.
So one other
next
quick
one.
Thing.
Yeah.
All right. So one other quick thing that I think is interesting, and this was some article or study or something that I read, that there are some people that are very active minds, okay? And Chris, this might go back to your daughter. If they're a very active individual, putting on that music that creates a little bit of that chaos or that like that movement actually helps center
that noise. Yeah.
It like because there's some movement going on that actually gives the person that needs that. That focus or attention to dive into whatever they're doing. Like I did read that or somewhere, and I thought it kind of hit me because I do like to. Some people need it completely silent, but I actually like to have kind of some music going on, and that's why I don't like words because then I'll like focus on the words. But if I have some kind of activity going on, then I can zero in on whatever it is I need to do. So.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it does depend on your wiring, and that has a little bit of self-awareness. All right. So number three, block time for specific projects. And this really, it goes back to the compliment I just gave, like where you block time. I know you've got a couple of strategies where you'll sometimes just break the day into two pieces and make sure you're knocking out a lot of good stuff in one piece and then the other piece. And then you'll break it down even further. In this case, Ron talks about breaking it down into like, hey, I'm going to answer emails at this time. I'm going to do conference calls at this time. I'm going to have a lunch working out, right? So he'll have lunch and then go work out and then have periodic breaks to freshen the brain. So you want to talk a little bit about how you tend to break your day up?
Yeah, no, I kind of mentioned a little bit before earlier. I think that certain people do good with really regimented things. For me, I'm not as good at planning out exactly how long something's going to take me. And so, typically, and I want to kind of try to complete that task unless I get kind of exhausted on that. And so I used to work out the same time every day, for sure. But I think that for me, I need a little bit more elasticity in the day to make sure sometimes projects run long. But I think for a lot of people that really regimented, if you're doing smaller kind of tasks, not so much like strategy or, you know, kind of bigger project work, it works really, really well. And yeah, I think breaking your tasks up by, hey, I'm going to do this from this time to this time, this time to this time is actually helpful to make sure you actually work on it. I definitely do that with setting meetings internally. Hey, we need to talk about this project and we're going to do it at this time. And we're going to get some action steps to come out of that. And that tends to work really well. But yeah, three big things a day, breaking the part into 2 days because you can always reset is certainly helpful.
Very cool. All right. So the next is, and you mentioned this earlier, email is the enemy of productivity. I think email is one of those things that feels like you're doing stuff. And let's be realistic, you are doing stuff. But is it really the productivity stuff? Is it the really productive and valuable? Is it the frog? Email is not the frog that you need to eat, not the thing that you've been that you haven't been accomplishing. It's the thing that really distracts you and make you feel like you've had a pseudo productive day. He even talks about on my creative days when I do much writing or thinking through business strategies, I check and respond to email twice, spending about 15 minutes of each of those times. So once around noon and then once around 5 p.m. on creative days.
So this is my viewpoint on email, and it's evolved, right? But my viewpoint on email right now is, you have typically 4 hours, maybe 6 hours to respond to something where it's professionally acceptable. You're not going to miss out on that. And if someone really needs to get in contact with me, they're going to live chat me, or they're going to call me, or they're going to text me, or they're going to get in touch with me, because email is the passing of information, I believe. It's not like live conversation, right? Like, so even like different social media apps, like you post something on Facebook, it's almost like passive, right? But if you're posting something on chat, or you're talking with somebody on chat or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever, it's real time, right? And so I look at email as like a passive communication. I have time to respond. And if you're sending me an email and you need something urgently, like copy XYZ person on this, right? So I don't feel that when I check email sometimes beginning of the day, end of the day only, that I'm really missing anything, because they know that I'm not actively checking it and they know how to get a hold of me. And that just comes down to setting expectations. And again, email to a certain degree is now, really the tool of marketers more than anything else. And most of those emails are irrelevant, and they're sales, and any kind of client's going to know really how to get a hold of me or anybody in my personal network. So I have actually, Chris, the last thing I can tell you, and this is for everyone out there. I don't check my voice messages on my phone. And I have, look at that, 333 unlistened to voice messages on my phone right now. So text message is definitely better. There's other ways that are better to get a hold of me, but I think that on any medium where marketing or, you know, that's the phone robobots are blowing me up. Like, it's not like, I don't even feel like it's necessary to answer the phone, you know, unless I'm waiting for some kind of call or something like that. So that's how I feel about email. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you at least twice this week, I've seen email signatures which say, hey, I only respond to my emails at like 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock. If you need to get a hold of me faster, then you probably know how to do that. Otherwise, just know that I'll respond in a professional, timely manner. So, that's probably a good signature to have on your email. So you're managing the expectation of people. And really, let's be honest, in a lot of sense, that's probably managing your own expectation of how quickly you want to respond. Because if you've got a message at the bottom of your emails that say, I'm not checking until 1 or 5, if you happen to check at, I don't know, 3, you know what, I should just mark that as unread and come back at 5, because that's what I'm trying to get myself to do, and you'll be a lot more efficient. So, yeah, email is the enemy of efficiency or productivity. Number 6 is kill social media. I don't know if email is more an enemy of productivity than social media. I would argue that it's social media, because at least with emails, you're kind of interacting with clients, interacting with team members, and there's stuff that gets like moved further down the road. If you're on social media, unless that's your job, which puts, you know, like eWebs in a unique situation, because we actually do need our team members to kind of be aware of social media, understand like what's the trends and things like that. And so we can't like just lock it down. If I owned a business where social media wasn't that important, like for some of our clients, we've helped them lock down social media in an orthopedic surgery center, right? Because they don't need social media there. But I think social media, yeah, like we've had debates on websites of how prominent should the Facebook link be on a website. Should there be a Facebook link? Yeah, you should have a Facebook page, and you should be doing social things on your Facebook page. But if you put it at the top and somebody's like, oh, I wonder what XYZ company does on their Facebook profile, that customer or prospect may never, ever come back.
Very true. I think that we're in a unique situation. We have a unique lens that we look through, because social media is part of our product offering, right? And we've recently brought that back with what has gone on. We social media, since the algorithm changes, it's a lot more kind of community management than anything else. And that component, they have to understand your business so well. They really need to kind of be in your office. One of the debates we had about social media as a business is, you know, it's something that people give lip service to. So they put somebody as the mouthpiece of their company that maybe is, it should almost be the most connected, highest paid person at the company, because they have such a voice on different channels. So really, social media is unique. It depends if you're a content producer or you're a content consumer. I tend to consume my social media just like email. Like, there's 2 times in the morning, at night, right? And anything else is kind of business related. The data shows that, you know, starting to be Thursday, Friday around lunchtime, social media is quite big, and it depends on the different channels. But social media is a conversation. It is a great way to do business, to connect with people. I was actually in my last business, was one of the first people on LinkedIn, and I was on LinkedIn all day, every day for, you know, 8-10 hours a day. And I was actually social media exhausted when I went home. So I didn't get on other platforms, and I wasn't very social. So you need some balance in that. But I think just social media is like anything, like everything's good in kind of a healthy doses. So
I like your story of LinkedIn, because you were on at that time, LinkedIn was brand new, and really you were in the recruiting industry, and the only reason that anybody ever got onto LinkedIn was really like, oh, this is the new way to brush up my resume. So it was like, hey Matt, here's another prospect. Hey Matt, here's another prospect. I think that's just a cool time to have been in that environment.
Yeah, I can tell you that I actually had alerts set up, and in the different industries that I had jobs to recruit on, you could put in parameters, right? And then anybody signing up for LinkedIn at the time, it was just really your resume online. And then you could tell based on how they filled it out, right? So I'd get an alert. The resume would be the right person, right age group, right job description. And either they would fill out their profile by just putting their job and like no description, or if they kind of really filled out that description, I knew they were interested. And just those small LinkedIn alerts for a time period made me a ton of money, because it's all about buyer behavior and user intent and getting to that person at the right time with the right conversation in their head. And like, if you just call people, cold call people, and you're a recruiter, they never wanted to talk to you. Okay. Cause they didn't need what you had right then, but when they needed you, they were your best friend. Right. And that helped kind of sift through that for me.
And then they were your best friend.
Yep. So it was quite nice, for quite a while. So.
All right. Well, we've gotten halfway through this. This is again from Ron Liebeck, top 12 tips for someone who's been working from home for 12 years. And we're going to run out of time if we keep going. So we're going to split this into two podcasts. What I'd like to do is say, hey, if you liked this podcast or any of our previous podcasts, why don't you go share it with three people? And maybe what you should do is Shiko us.
Share, like, follow. Now, I know that's a little delayed. I would say if you like this podcast, I would encourage you to go to bestseopodcast.com and check out some of our old podcasts.
That's the website behind me.
Well, you can't see the domain, but yes, that's what it looks like. bestseopodcast.com. We are going to be adding a number of resources to that page. We are building the online component of the business together right now. Like, a lot of people have requested, hey, I want to learn about email marketing. Well, we're putting together playlists for that of, hey, here are the podcasts you need to listen to. We are coming up with some productized SEO packages, some smaller consulting packages outside the agency, really trying to make that site as a resource more interactive. We're going to be adding news like Alltop to it. There's a lot of things that are coming down the pike, and I would encourage you to check it out. I would ask, if you do like what we're doing with the podcast, and you have been listening to it for a while, consider our Patreon account. If you scroll down on the homepage to kind of two-thirds down the homepage, Chris is going back and forth for any of you that aren't watching this. It's pretty hilarious. Kind of support us. Support us with the Patreon account. Also, we are looking for software sponsors right now. And the podcast has over 50,000 downloads a month. So if you know anybody that might be interested that has a software, we do want to vet the software out and test it out. We will start offering sponsorships on the podcast. So we would ask you to help get the message out there. But just know, for all of you out there that are doing it yourself, we're going to have a lot of other offerings for you.
Excellent. Well, also, if you're interested in growing your business with the largest, simplest marketing tool on the entire planet,
the internet,
call EOR Results for increased revenue in your business. Our phone number is 713-592-6724. We were filmed live at two locations, so we won't mention those locations because they're our homes. The transcript, video, and of this podcast are available on the website, Best SEO Podcast. And like Matt said, you can support us in two ways. The Patreon account is one way at the bottom of the page, at Best SEO Podcast. And the other one is to just share this. Like, that, consider that a way of paying us or repaying us for any good content that you've gotten from us. We would like some reviews, right? You guys maybe have a little bit more time, maybe, in this day and age. You can go to ewebresults.com/G+.
Well, they're not back yet. Like they said that they're back. They're not back yet. So, so leave them on Facebook.
Facebook.com/bestSEOpodcast.
There you go.
And then you can also find us like on Twitter, twitter.com/eWebResults.
I'm not on Twitter that much. Okay. Find me on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn. There you go. Yeah. But please share it. Leave a review if you can on our Facebook page. And then, you know, if you'd like to donate some coffee to fill this coffee mug that looks really cool on a weird green screen, then you can do that by going to our Patreon account at the bottom of the podcast page, Best SEO Podcast. Well, that wraps up this podcast. We'll be back shortly to do another, to wrap up the next six items. Patif to Ron Lieback, top 12 tips for someone who has been working from home for 12 years. Good advice and great input from you, Matt. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now.